Good morning, everybody. It is July 30. Fresh out of the convention, closing the first month right out of convention. Lots of activity, but, you know, the big leaders are able to get things done. And, you know, it's not like they're not running around like chickens with their head cut off at the last minute. They know when the deadlines are. They've got their schedule. They're organized. You always have surprises, but they pretty much stay in front of this stuff. And that's really why we're able to get on this call at one of the busiest times of the entire year at month in, coming out of the convention. And also, these are leaders that are on the West Coast. They had to bring their entire organizations east and then get them back home and back working again this past week or so. But they got the time to get on because they're organized. They know what they're doing, and I really want to let them know how much I appreciate them getting on to what we're calling a serial winter workshop. So glad to have you with us this morning, Neil and Victoria Gerfein.
Thank you, Larry.
Thanks, Larry. We're excited to be on the call with you.
Yeah, really excited to have you guys on. And then also from Las Vegas, and of course Neil and Victoria are from Los Angeles, and Jeff and Kelsey Fielstadt from Las Vegas, Nevada. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Larry.
Yeah, and got a new baby. How old's the baby there, Jeff?
Baby's 10 months, and
10
he's
months.
Doing good. Yeah.
Yeah, congratulations.
Proud Thank you. I appreciate you. That.
You know, and that's really symbolic of what we're doing here. We're not, you know, we're not going over these things for ourselves. See, I mean, this is the way we live our life. We're doing this for the next generation because we were fortunate enough to have people pass these things on, explain these things to us. A lot of, you know, some of it we had to learn by doing, but we were, even if we figured about ourselves, we were observing what some other people did. And this call is about talking about some issues that can really change your life, talking about things that you must learn. All of us had to learn, and until you learn them, you're going to be limited in how far you can go in your life. You know, we have a phrase in the South where you can't get above your raising. And you're never going to go beyond your training, your knowledge, your foundation. And really what we're doing, like with the youngster in the other room, what we do with our kids, what our parents did with us was try to give us, as we were growing up, and operate a successful personal operating system for winning. So we could go out and function independently in a challenging world and get done the things that we really wanted to do in our lives. And we could be overcomers. We could be people who accomplish things, people of accomplishment, substance, character, rather than people who are victimized and always were beat down, you know. And when you take care of yourself, you not only have the joy of being independent, but you can give back to others, and that's what you guys are doing this morning. So we're focusing in on the concept of serial winning, particularly why is it that some people, although if you sit down with anybody in the world and ask them what their plans and dreams are, they've got things they want to do in their life, unfinished business, things that cause their, when the subject comes up, their eyes light up, that it'd be fantastic if they could do that. Doesn't matter if anybody else gets excited about it, it's something that would, that turns them on. Yet, very few people ever do anything great in their life. And of the people that do anything great, very few repeat. Yet, all of us know people that are consistently going from achievement to achievement. No matter what happens to them, they're able to bounce back. They're able to absorb body blows. And it comes into how do these people think? I think about the something I've heard in the golf world. They say there's probably 1,000 people in the world or more that have a professional tour level PGA Tour golf swing. yet there's only about 140 in any given year that even qualified to play on that tour. And then, you know, you have the top 10, but you got over 1,000 that have got the physical ability, the skill level to do that. And that's why at the top levels you hear over and over, it's a mental game. And these are the things that are almost never talked about. And that's what we want to shed some light on this morning. And you got to learn it. So don't feel bad if you're, you know, you're struggling with this stuff. You've got to learn it. And what we want to do is pass this information, some of this information, on to you. It's triggered by the release of the serial winner, pre-sales anyway, of the serial winner book that's going to be out October 22nd. But mainly, you know, you don't have to wait for any of that. You can get some of the answers you're looking for right now. And why don't we just kick off like this? Victoria, we kind of pick up the conversation. Victoria and I were talking last night. Victoria, you were talking about in reading, you know, there's a few people got a preview copy of this thing, and you said you were reading and some things really jumped out to you that you and Neil had gone through. And why don't we jump in with that?
First of all, it's an excellent book. I definitely recommend that you read the book in its entirety and then go back and highlight some of the things that hit you. I mean, there's just so much gold nuggets that can help. And I feel like it's a really good book that is specific to Primerica. That's what I like about it. And as a brand new person, when you read All You Can Do Is All You Can Do, you can relate, and it helps so much. It's kind of like that. And I just shared one example that really hit home, and that I think that when someone gets to a place to be able to identify it and then have a how to respond, this is the kind of book that you want to pick up. I was just sharing with Larry that Neil and I were at a pinnacle point in our business, in our life, in our journey, and we had to make a serious phone call to our coach, Rick Suzy. And it's that fork in the road where, you know, sometimes you've talked to your coach so many times that you think that you already have the answers in your head. I've spoken to my coach. I have the answers in my head. I don't need to have this answer. I know what he's going to come back with. I know what he's going to say. But a winner makes that phone call anyway, because you don't know what your coach is going to say. You haven't been through what your coach has been through. You don't have that experience. That's what coaches are for. And in Larry's book, Serial Winner, he talks about a moment in his journey where he'd been in the business for 2 years, and he was broke. He was working hard, and a lot of people go through that where you think, you know, man, what do? I need to pay my bills. And Larry was thinking, I'm going to go back to get a job, a construction job of all things. Someone that's such a people person, you know, just saying, I'm going to go back to construction and pay my bills and regroup and that kind of thing. And then I can have a fresh start. So I'm going to make this tough phone call to my coach, and he calls Art Williams. And the second that Larry says, you know, Art, I have a friend who's thinking about just having a fresh start, getting a job, and he said immediately, Larry, because he instinctively knew that it was Larry he was talking about, that he was talking about himself, he said, this is going to be the biggest mistake of your life. Why would you throw away 2 years of hard work, of learning what you've learned at this point? Why would you throw that away? And I know from personal experience that Larry must have realized that was a moment in his life where he's at a fork in the road, and he made the right decision by making the phone call, number one. And number two is taking his advice and realizing his dream and everything that he's accomplished. So there's a lot of moments like that in the book where he's talking to people in his journey that have helped him along the way, and I think it's going to be a really helpful book. I know that there's a lot of books out there about success, biographies, but this is specific to Primerica, and I think that it's going to go a long way for people, so I'm very, very excited about it. And thank you for letting me share.
Yeah, that was great, Victoria, and feel free to jump in on any of these other things, but the point is that, you know, it brings out when knowing what to do does save you from throwing away your life, making devastating decisions and at the wrong time, because, and it'll sound good to you, like this will be, disaster, you can talk yourself into some of the most disastrous decisions, but they sound good on the surface. But when you go through these things, Neil, like you guys have gone through,
right,
in learning the right, you know, the right fork in the road to take, not only does that save you and pull you and your family through, but it allows you to be able to coach and help other people. Because I know that experience that you went through with Rick Susie has been duplicated in your own life and with your, you know, people that you've trained. And, you know, people, when we get to those things, we need something to be, you know, who can come in and put the light on for us. And that's what we're just trying to do here, get the subject on the table, let people know we've been through these things itself. The fact that you have to go through this stuff is just part of the process of you turning in to your best self, your greatest self. And, Neil, we see this in all walks of life, but these are things you have to learn.
I totally agree, Larry. I really feel like a lot of the philosophy that you put into your personal experience and testimony in the book, it truly relates for people, because subconsciously, as you kind of go through the chapters and you read the book, it gives you the worthiness that you deserve the success, that you feel, you know, self-centered of all the success that's coming your way. And it's really a blueprint of how to go from a W-2 mentality into business ownership and entrepreneurship mentality. And it kind of gives you all the different material that you need to make people understand the mindset, you know, how to elevate their business, how to take it to another level, and that they're not the only one that hears no, or, you know, things happen or fires go on in their business, or, you know, it really clarifies a lot of good key points where people should be inspired to keep charging.
Well, Neil, I mean, isn't that what you just said there? I want to make sure people don't miss the point there. When you're on a salary, when you're employed, you know, other, you know, you go in and there's somebody who's giving you things to do on a daily basis, and you don't have to be in charge of pushing yourself, organizing yourself, and maximizing your output, it's different. But when you get on your own, where you can be in control, you know, it's like, well, I don't have a boss anymore. We always have a boss. It's just a matter of when you go from a salary to a being an entrepreneur, being on a commission, you've got to be your own boss. You've got to know how to put yourself to work, keep yourself working. And if you can't do that, you're not going to do anything, and you're not going to be productive, and you're going to wind up working for somebody else. But there, you have, it's a different way of operating as you go through life. And a lot of people, I think most people, fall apart not because they can't do the things that, you know, the skills and the jobs of being independent, producing their own income. They just can't get a hold of the self-discipline for themselves. And was that something that, how did you learn that, and how do you see people that you're training go through that process?
I just think, Larry, it's a consistency of, you know, just the highs and lows of the business, and understanding that that's, you know, the principle in any business is that when things aren't going right, how do you respond? When things aren't going, you know, when things are great, you're a blast, but when there's adversity and there's distractions and there's all sorts of, you know, highs and lows during the day of a daily business, you know, how is your attitude, you know? And, you know, really some of the key pivotal points in your book, Larry, talk about just persevering and continuing that you're on track, and it's a big deal, you know. And I think that those steps are how we do it. In regards of people in the business, you know, I really think that people come in the business and they have different internal inceptions, or they have different personalities. So some people come in and recruiting very easy, but they can't. They're not good at sales, where other people are great at sales and they're just not really good at recruiting. And somewhere in between that, they got to learn how to meet in the middle and kind of be, you know, get good at both of them and become effective. And what I would always say is that you're able to always capitalize on your strengths, but daily work on your weaknesses. And I think that's one of the greatest benefits of Primerica, is that it'll always allow you to self-improve as an individual. And that goes right back to, you know, the book, you know, with the Serial Winner really explains to the individual, that's why you're an independent contractor, gives them the individual principles of the description for the diagnosis and how to win in American business, Larry.
You know, the Neil, you know, when we grow up, we've got our parents' voices in our head, you know, always telling us, always directing us. As we get out into the world, usually we have a job, we've got a boss, and we've got that voice in our head all the time. But when you go independent, you have to have your own voice in your head that's going to tell you what's good, what's better, what's best, what's the most profitable thing to do, what is foolish, what is wise. You've got to have these voices. And I know, like when you're on stage in Atlanta, you know, that 45, 50 plus thousand people listening, and they gave you that generous 10-minute slot, you know, all the speakers got. I mean, you're pouring this stuff out. And it was obvious, these are the things that you constantly say to yourself. These are the things that how you program yourself for success. You can have the greatest, most powerful computer in the world, but until you program it, it's not going to do anything. It's not. You got to be able to, you know, we might have the greatest ability in the world, but until you can learn how to program yourself for success, you're not going to be successful. And that's all we're talking about here. It's a simple kind of thing. But once you get these principles in your head, once you know how this goes, it doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. If you get your hand around this stuff early in your life, you can be super productive right from the beginning. And we're seeing that in our business with people like the Thielstats. And Jeff, when you're... You know, you read a lot. You know, you've seen a lot of these things. What jumps out to you, and what do people need to learn from this stuff that maybe they don't hear when they read from these books from people who are primarily interviewers and never really done it? You know, what's the difference between an amateur level? You know, we could talk to school teachers all over the country, and they would be able to spout out a lot of this stuff, but they're not out there using this information on a daily basis on a professional level to generate income and, you know, to help other people generate income. So what is it that stuck out to you that you think that you'd like the people should pick up on?
You know, Larry, I'm so excited about this book, and I really am. I came into Primerica at such a young age, and I just knew that I had to get better. You know, and I never did good in school. I was never a good student. But I had a desire that I just wanted to win. So I started reading books right when I came into Primerica. And after about being at Primerica about a year, I decided that I was going to read a book a week. And it started because I read a Forbes article that talked about that highly, highly successful people read on average 50 books a year. And they came out with a list every year. And so I just started buying the list and reading the books. And what I noticed through all those books, I mean, there's so many great books out there, so many books I've read. And but, you know, a lot of the people that are writing those books have never actually done it. And so they can, you know, we were talking the other day, you know, they can teach you how to be good, but they can't teach you how to be great. You know, they've never actually done it. They can't figure out what is that secret recipe. What is that one thing that they just can't quite put their finger on that separates the people that do almost enough, but they never really quite break through. And, you know, your book explains it because you've done it. You've been there. And I really believe that that is going to be the thing that changes people's lives as they read this book, is it has that, you can call it that secret ingredient from someone who's actually done it, someone who actually understands it because they've been through it. You know, and there's so many great points, you know, but I think, you know, if you, as you go through the book, you know, the first chapter, you know, with being decided, there's something there that it was really stuck out to me. It was powerful, you know, is the three killers of dreams you talk about. And, you know, detailitis, excuseitis, and the hesitation virus. And I think, you know, we see a lot of people do that. You know, they want to, they're always creating a game plan, create another game plan. And there's nothing wrong with creating another game plan. But the problem is, you know, they're doing the ready, aim, ready, aim, ready, aim, ready, aim. And by the time they're ready to fire, the target moves, you know. And so I think it's important is that somebody's going for something, somebody's going for a dream. You know, you're gonna learn along the way that everything's not going to be perfect as you get started, but the key to winning is getting started and just moving forward, you know, and the details and, you know, all the excuses that we create in our minds, and those things create fear, and fear ultimately creates paralysis, and the only way you're going to overcome that fear is to go for it, is to work so much that you're not thinking about it anymore. You know, in another in that same chapter, ask a couple questions that really, I think it's so important to ask ourselves is, do I really want it? Does it excite me? And, you know, a lot of people don't realize, you know, when they hear someone say, do I really want it? They're, you know, do I really want it is, you know, why did you get started in American business? What is it that excited you about life? What do you want out of life? And you know, the great thing about our business is you can get everything you want out of life. And it's not the business, it's what you want out of life. And if what you want out of life excites you, then you're going to go for it. And you'll figure out the rest later. And you're going to learn it, but you have to start moving. You have to start going through some rejection. You have to start going through some issues. You have to start going through some challenges to learn how to solve them. And not try to figure them out before you get there. Otherwise, you're never going to get there to be able to learn that process. And so, you know, there's so many great things. But, you know, right at the beginning, that is really what hit me hard. As we've, you know, moved to three different cities and built a business in three different cities, the fact is, you know, every time we had to just hit the ground running and just go for it. And every city is different. There are different people, different challenges, you know, different cities. And so I think those things are very, very important if someone, you know, begins on their path to achievement and success and they want to continue to do it over and over, is just going for it.
Yeah, and I can't tell you how many times I've seen people, you know, they move up through the system. Let's just say they get to the point where they earn their right to get promoted and it comes time to choose where they're going to build their, you know, if they're going to stay local or they're going to move to another state. And they basically – their whole career winds up stalling out at that point because they can't make a decision. I don't know if I want to stay here. I don't want to go where I grew up. I don't know if I want to go where my wife grew up. Let's see this. They never kind of, you know, and then other people, they're like, well, I'm waiting for the Lord to lead me. I don't know what the Lord wants me to do in my life. And like, can we sit? What options has the Lord given you? You know, what options are we talking about here? Let's, you know, it's great to be, you know, pray and have the spiritual thing. But, I mean, when it comes down, you probably have found that the Lord has given you some darn options. So what are you waiting for? And I could, you know, at some point you got to call a shot. You take advantage. I heard this phrase the other day. You know, we don't know the future. And all you can do is make a decision based off what, you know, the facts you have in front of you. But if you're not going to, you know, when you make that decision, you can get going in a direction. If it's not exactly right, then you can make course correction. You know, Art Williams was always changing things, very decided. But he would call a shot because he looked at life like it was football, and I've got that in the book. It's like, you know, every play you call in football is designed for a touchdown, but they don't all score. You know, very few of them actually go for a touchdown. But you get as far you get a little bit of progress, and then you can call another play. I remember Art, you know, he used to change all the time, and I called down to one of my really big leaders at the time, Red Tillman, down in Charlotte one morning, and I said, how are things going? And he said, well, he said I came in this morning, my secretary was throwing stuff around the office, and I asked her why. He said, James, what's wrong? She said, well, I called down to Atlanta, and she said, you can't get anybody on the phone. They changed his phone number. She said, it's change. You know, we were a fast-growing company. They had to make a lot of changes. But it was frustrating to kind of keep up with if you were on the administrative end. She said, you know, we called down there, and she said, you know what I think these guys do? I think Art Williams comes in the office, meets with his key people, and they get a cup of coffee, and they go into the big office up there on the third floor and say, what can we change today? She said, I think they just live for changing crap. And she said, if they can't think of anything to change that particular day, she said, I think they say, well, what the heck, let's just change some phone numbers. But, you know, one thing, Art was decisive. I remember, one time he said, okay, this is going to be the new guidelines, or this is going to be the new comp thing, and it is poured in concrete. This is a decision poured in concrete. He wasn't afraid to call a shot. But then, of course, about 3 weeks later, he changed, and this same Red Tillman that I talked to, he said, Wydell, he said, I thought Art said that was poured in concrete, carved in stone. I said, well, they poured some new concrete, and they got a new stone. What can I tell you, Red? But the thing is, in your life, if you sit and hesitate, is this the right decision, is this right, you're never going to move. I remember even when Bill Whittle was building his dream home in Louisiana, and I don't know if he's in the same dream home, but it was, I talked to him about that, and I said, a little early to be building the dream home and everything, isn't it? He said, well, it's going to be a dream home, and it's going to be, compared to what I've got now, it's going to be a dream. And he said, if we decide we want another dream home, we'll build another dream home. And see, isn't that the way it goes? So many people say, well, I'm going to wait till we build the dream home that we're going to live in for the rest of our lives. How do you know what the rest of your life's going to be? You just got to call the shot based off what is in front of you right now and what can get you excited. Because excitement is precious. When you got something in front of you, you decide to go for it, you've got enthusiasm, you're inspired, you're motivated, that is a precious commodity. And NEO people just petering away by indecision, and that's one of the first things, and it's really, we have a big role in helping them get excited about the possibility of their future, but if we can't get, it's just like in anything, if we can't get them excited about that, nothing's going to happen in their career. Like right now, we're finishing July. If, as leaders, we can't get our teams excited about exploding into August and having a record in August and give them a reason why August could change their careers, where they decide to go for something big in August, then they're going to waste August. And so that's one of the big jobs in leadership that you can do. But first, you've got to be able to get past that point of indecision in your own life. And Neil, is this something you had to learn? Is this something you see play out on a daily basis as you run your team?
Absolutely, no question about it. I really think that just looking at and understanding the process, what it takes to get momentum, to keep momentum, to put fires out before they spread, to put bombs off before they explode, it reassures the subconscious mind thought process, because as you hear, thoughts become words that become action. What you think about most grows. And one thing you started with the call, Larry, you said that the loudest voice in your head wins, okay? And we grow up hearing a lot of our mom and dad's voice in our head. And as you get into growing out of the teenage stage and you get your boss's voice in your head, and that's pretty much where people, find comfort in that and don't grow no more. And when you come into Primerica, there's so much growth. There's so much, highs and lows on a daily basis that it's very important that a better reader is a better leader. And the material in the book that you put together truly enhances where people can have a better thought process under pressure. You know, it really helps them with their philosophy. It helps them really grab both hands with the bowl and really take it to another level, Larry. There's no question about it.
Yeah, and the thing is, like you said, you know, when you have